On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes,
here are the wines that we're going to be tasting today. From Stag's Leap, we have the Stag's Leap Napa Valley Chardonnay 23. We have the Stag's Leap.
Stag's Leap Winery. You got to be precise here. There's Stag's Leap's Wine Cellars. That's the one with the big stag. This is the older winery. It has the little tiny stag in the circular.
It has the apostrophe vignette after the S.
Yes.
We have their Petite Syrah 2022, and we have the Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. From Palmas, we have the Amalia Napa Valley Chardonnay 2019 and the Palmas Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. And then we have the Achendo Larea Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc 23, the Achendo Larea Napa Valley Red Wine 21, and the Achendo Cellars Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, yes, it's sipping time again. Welcome, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing.
But we never discuss the sexy time, Bob. We never discuss the sexy time.
That's because the court won't allow you to discuss that anymore or go anywhere near a school at least 1,000 yards. Remember, 1,000 yards.
1,000 yards, yeah. That's horrible.
Yeah, I know, but it's for the children, buddy.
The other pedos get 500 feet.
Yeah, well, the others aren't as accomplished as you, I guess. So, anyway.
We're in the toilet fast today.
135 already.
Wow.
Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today on this Sips episode is good old boy Justin.
Good morning. Fortunately, now restraining order free.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And Made Man Morgan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy to be here in the dank, dark basement.
And good old boy Arm.
Thanks, Bob. They'll never catch me.
Nah, they'll never catch you. You're too fast. I've seen you run.
I've been walking with a cane for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
Oh, he doesn't need it. He just thinks it makes him look cool.
Gives him sympathy.
People, I do get compliments for that cane, but you know, it's just the pain in the ankle is not worth it.
Well, think about it. You get no compliments without the cane, but you get compliments with the cane. So that just
they
tells
know
you,
I'll hit them if they don't
tell
get
you
any compliments.
The cane actually looks better than you. So
yeah. How about Herman Cain? I'll cut someone. That guy.
Herman Cain was 999, right? Was that the guy?
Yeah, don't look at me, man. You're over my head with that one. So. Well, today's
six. That was a few elections ago.
Was that the guy who said everybody's pants are too damn low?
No, he said, I'm going to cut a beep.
Oh, okay.
He died of COVID at a Trump.
Yeah. Rally. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, he contracted there? He contracted it there. He didn't die at the Trump rally.
No, he died.
That would have been interesting.
Literally 7 days later.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, COVID sometimes ain't all so bad. So let's move on. So our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and here are the wines that we're going to be tasting today. From Stag's Leap, we have the Stag's Leap Napa Valley Chardonnay 23. We have the Stag's Leap.
Stag's Leap Winery. You got to be precise here. There's Stag's Leap's Wine Cellars. That's the one with the big stag. This is the older winery. It has the little tiny stag in the circular.
It has the apostrophe
vignette
after the S.
Yes. So that's the other room. Stag's Leap Winery.
So we have their Petite Syrah 2022, and we have the Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. From Palmas, we have the Amalia Napa Valley Chardonnay 2019, and the Palmas Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021.
We killed a baby.
Hmm?
We killed a baby.
Yeah. And then we have the Achendo Larea Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc 23, the Achendo Larea Napa Valley Red Wine 21, and the Achendo Cellars Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. So let's go. Okay, let's go to Justin. And he can
do
give
we
us
have to?
Our sips ratings.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. One sip. Nancy, give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Ganga Din, water.
Ganga Din, drink water. Drink water.
There are so many jokes to go there. I really, none of them I can tell on the radio. Not one.
Still a stupid. It's such a fine line.
Okay, then. Stupid and very clever. Good. Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Hmm. Interesting. Nancy, what was this again?
Your Alzheimer's is showing.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Oh my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
That's just so disturbing.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So disturbing.
Yes.
Thanks, Justin.
Oh, anytime.
I stand by this statement.
Still a stupid.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Lord. God, please. Okay. Let's see if we can dig this one out of the hole we're already in. Who wants to read the Stag's Leap
one? I'll be happy to read it. The property where Stag's Leap Winery is located was originally part of the Yahome Rancho Mexican land grant. After a series of owners, the Grigsby family consolidated a 700 parcel where the current Stag's Leap estate resides today. The Grigsbys planted grapes on the land in 1872, and 13 years later, they transferred the land to W.W. Thompson and H.H. Harris, Napa County Sheriff. Right. The next year, Mr. Harris conveyed his interest in the property to Thompson's nephew, Horace Blanchard Chase. In 1888, Horace Chase married, and shortly thereafter, Horace and his uncle divided their 700 tract into two parcels. The Horace became sole owner of the northwestern 365 acres. By 1892, 80 acres of vineyards were in production, and Horace built a 150-foot wine cave by blasting into the volcanic rhyolite rock of the Palisades. Unfortunately, in 1809, he lost much of his fortune through failed investments in Mexican silver mines, and Stag's Leap property was lost by default. In 1913, the property was purchased by Clarence and Frances Grange, who lived on the property with their two children. After Clarence had a severe accident with a horse, Frances created an upscale destination resort, Stag's Leap Manor. In 1970, Carl Durmani and his wife Joanne purchased a portion of the property and began a 9-year restoration project, which included the vineyards. In 1996, Carl sold the property to Beringer, now Treasury Wine Estates, the current owners of the estate. The first wine is the Stag's Leap Napa Valley Chardonnay 2023. It is 14.3% ABV, 99% Chardonnay, and 1% Viognier. 50% neutral French oak barrels, 25% new French oak, and 25% stainless steel for 4.5 months. The wine did not undergo any malolactic fermentation and was matured for 7 months, undergoing biweekly batonnage. The fruit comes from vineyards in southern Napa Valley, mostly Carneros, with some fruit from Oak Knoll. On the color, very pale straw color. On the nose, we get lemon cream, a hint of pineapple, citrus blossom, and some flowers. The palate, there's definitely some apple, pear, a hint of lemon, a little vanilla brioche, and a little creaminess. What's vanilla brioche?
vanilla, comma, and brioche. And
somebody's just reading.
And on the palate and on the finish, I would say it's short to medium. This was a nice wine. It was enjoyable. It's definitely an all-day drinker. I didn't find it overly complex and overly captivating, but it was just pleasant and enjoyable. What did you think, Justin?
I didn't get all the notes that Maury got, but I did get apples, pear, a little bit of brioche, more as a texture than a flavor, touch of ginger, and the back palate was sweet. It was tingly and sweet, but as I approached it, this has been open an hour or two, the tingliness has gone away, and it's just sweet on the back palate. But I enjoyed it. What'd you think, Harm?
Well, I got some of the same notes Maury got. The lemon and the pineapple are definitely there.
It's got a lot of citrus acidity to it.
I'm not getting too much citrus, more melon. It's kind of like almost like a cantaloupe. And there's a floral note on the nose. But I got to spit that. I got to work after this. I got more pear than apple that you got, Justin. I got more pears. I think the oak is prevalent here. I get like a little bit of cinnamon from that French oak. There's a little bit of toast on the nose as well. Vanilla is definitely there. I'm not getting the brioche note. There's maybe a hint of spice from the oak, other than the cinnamon. I'm like a ginger note. Medium finish. It's decent wine. It's a good Chardonnay at a, you know, value priced.
Yeah, well, that's
Bobby Joe. What'd you think?
That's the nice thing about this Stag's Leap is you don't pay through the nose for it,
right?
You know, they're very reasonable on the prices on their wine. So, I mean, on the nose, I'm definitely getting the lemon. I get the lemon. I get a little bit of pineapple, and I get a little bit of, like, on the back. I don't know if it's the melon, but I'm getting starfruit.
It's not starfruit to me. Starfruit's a little sharper. This is more mellow.
I'm getting that sharp.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely get it. It's right in the tip of the nose. I love starfruit, so I buy it all the time. About 95% of the world's supply of starfruit, or U.S. supply of starfruit, comes from an island off of Fort Myers.
I was going to say, 95% you eat all of it. Mm,
probably, yeah. Hmm. But apples, pears, a little bit of vanilla.
Like yellow apples?
Yeah.
How do you like them apples?
I mean, you know, real tart.
I haven't
either
seen that movie forever.
Either yellow or maybe even Granny Smith, because it's got that tartness to it. There's a dustiness to it on the end.
Well, I mean, there's a good grip coming from, I think, the oak. That's how much did they say? 25% new French oak? Mm-hmm. That's doing it. Mm-hmm. 50% neutral barrels. That's just going to give it a nice mouthfeel. I mean, I think that 25% French oak was a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But overall, you know, for the money, a really nice sipping wine. So we're going to give the Stag's Leap Napa Valley Chardonnay 2023 well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we have just finished talking about the Stag's Leap Napa Valley Chardonnay. Nice little wine, really well done. And that's going to take us to our next wine from the folks at Stag's Leap. We're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. The next wine is the Stag's Leap Winery Napa Valley Petite Syrah 2022. It's 14.5% ABV. It's 89% Petite Syrah, 5% Grenache, 3% Syrah, 3% mixed Rhones. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Probably Cinsault and something else. Who knows what they're doing over there. The fruit is from vineyards in Calistoga, St. Helena, Oakville, Oak Knoll, Combsville, the Stag's Leap District. And maceration and fermentation was 9 to 12 days. It was matured in 100% French oak. Only 19% was new. I like the restraint there. It was aged for 15 months before being bottled. It's an opaque garnet with violet edges. And what really strikes you right away is the nose. This is just absolutely perfumey and beautiful. This is the way Petite Syrah should be. It's all about the violets, candied violets, raspberry notes a little bit. I'm getting a hint of menthol now. Maybe because I just blew my nose. Who knows? And the nose, is, I could just sit here and smell it all day. Just all day. I love the nose. This is a geeky wine. But where it kind of falls down is the palate. It doesn't quite match the nose. Let's try this. Mm. Tons of blueberry. A little bit of black cherry. Raspberries coming out now that it's had some air. And I'm getting, like, the mouthfeel is so nice. It's got this medium grip from that oak. And the acidity that is high enough to clear the tannins. So, like, you get that great grip. It's this one over here. Justin needs to get some more. It's got that great grip from the tannin. But the acidity makes you salivate a little bit. Clears the tannin off. And it's just gorgeous. And it's got a little dusty finish on the side. Yeah, it's a little dusty on the sides of your tongue. And then the finish is medium to medium long. This has gotten better in the glass, and I really enjoyed this. Mm-hmm. Justin, what do you think?
So I thought this was kind of floral on the nose.
Kind of. That's all it is.
Yeah. I got like Robusto coffee beans. I got baking chocolate.
Okay.
On the palate, it was big fruit. It was a little tart. On the finish.
So I like that acidity. Just a little tart?
Little tart. Mm. On the finish, I got like coffee liqueur on the sides of my palate. And then after that, I got this like Rhode Island coffee milk kind of thing going on. Which
I have no idea what you're talking
chocolate
about.
Chocolate syrup. I'm sorry, coffee syrup. And 2% milk. It's like the national drink of
Rhode Island.
Well, the state drink. State drink of Rhode Island.
So all five people drink it.
All five.
Okay.
And is there a particular brand of coffee syrup?
Yes, I can't remember.
Oh, can you get back to me on that?
Yeah.
So I'd like to duplicate that.
I'll tell you. I'll put it on Facebook.
Thank you.
Yeah, when the show launches.
Maury, what'd you think?
Well, I think this is a really interesting wine. I would like to say, call it a bit of a geek wine. I think you can appreciate for what it is being sort of really out there, really unique. I'm not sure what I'd pair it with, but I agree with everything that's been said. It's got a beautiful, perfumey, violet forward nose. The nose is definitely the highlight of this wine. On the palate, there's lots of violet. There's lots of dark fruit, dark berries, dark cherries, dark raspberries, blueberries. I agree with everything you guys have said. It's really interesting just because it's so unique and different than anything I've ever had.
I know you didn't like it as much as I did.
No, it was very tight coming out of the bottle. In fact, I would say for optimal drinking and enjoyment, you should definitely be patient, aerate it, give it time. We probably even opened it a little bit young. It's only a 2022. But I would say this wine, with the benefit of a couple hours of air and aeration and decanting, is showing the best it possibly could be now. And it's really, really interesting. But like I said, it doesn't really fit in any one box or category. It's a kind of a unique, odd bird.
Well, you know, do you eat a lot of lamb? This is a perfect lamb wine.
Huh. Nobody eats a lot of lamb. We don't like killing little baby cows or baby sheep, excuse me.
You eat a lot of veal. You know what makes veal taste good? You can taste the fear. That's a horrible joke told to me by a lawyer friend of mine.
Oh, gosh.
I'm like the lawyers.
That's all you need to know, yeah.
Yeah.
I love this one. I thought this was delicious.
What would you pair it with?
My tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not so much looking for something to pair it with, but I'm with him. I think with lamb, it would be really nice.
Anything, grilled meats are great with this. Anything with like a, you know, I'm thinking something like with hoisin sauce on it.
Like a grilled skirt steak or flat meat. Yeah.
Yeah.
The nose on it is really beautiful. And it's just, it's flowers and violets and raspberries. And
yeah, it's a violet bomb.
Sometimes you get plum on petite sirah. I'm not getting it here.
There's a little bit of currant in the nose, but, and then the berries come through, the blueberries and the blackberries, and then on the end.
And the grip helps, you know, with the red meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the end, you get that little bit of bite, and there's that little bit of dustiness, like a dark cocoa.
You mentioned that earlier. Both of you guys mentioned dark chocolate. I really don't quite get it.
Yeah, I didn't either. I agree with you,
Horm. No, cocoa, not chocolate.
Okay.
That dustiness. I mean, have you ever...
I mentioned the dustiness, but it didn't associate with cocoa.
Like cocoa powder.
So I tasted cocoa powder wreck.
Right. Okay,
yes, cocoa powder doesn't taste really like chocolate. It's more of a dusty sort of...
Right, right. So, I see it now.
Yeah. I don't get the chocolate on it, but... Yeah.
I stopped snorting cocoa powder in the 80s.
The 80s were fun. So we're going to be giving the Stag's Leap Napa Valley Petite Sirah 2022 four sips.
That's classified.
So that's going to take us to our next wine. We're going to have Justin do that one.
Stag's Leap Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021.
That's his game show host voice.
Yep. 14.6% alcohol by volume, and it's 85% Cabernet Sauvignon, 4% Petit Verdot, 4% Malbec, 4% Tannat, 1% Petit Sirah, 1% Cabernet Franc, 1% Malbec.
They said Malbec earlier. It's got to be a different clone. It's weird.
Yeah. My bad.
No. No, it's not your bad. It's 4% and then 1% later. This got to be a different clone of Malbec.
It's between 1% and 4%. Tannat. And it's made from 27% new French oak barrels and 73% older seasoned French oak barrels for 19 months. So on the nose, I got mushrooms, lilacs, funk, and pate. On the palate.
Mm-hmm. What kind of pate?
Liver.
No.
Yeah, light. You know, it's a light flavor. Okay, that's not dominating.
Sorry. Go ahead.
And then on the palate, I got raisinettes and green apples. And I found the finish was tannic and woody. What did you think, Maury?
I want to hear what Harmeet has to say because I'm still recovering from what you just said.
I had no apple at all. I don't know what you're coming with the raisinettes either. I got the violets from the 1% Petite Sirah. Still came through. I got black plum. I got raspberries on the nose. On the palate, the plum comes through again. There's a little bit of cherry. I get that coffee that you got in the previous one. I'm kind of getting that hints of coffee here. I'm trying to reach for the apple. I don't get any apple. The grip is medium. The tannins are good, but not overpowering. It's not quite as balanced or as interesting to me as the Petite Sirah was. And it's got a nice finish. So
it's not nearly as interesting as the Petite Sirah. That was a really interesting wine. This is a well-made, middle-of-the-road, easy-drinking cab-based blend. I think it's nice. I think it would benefit from some more time in the bottle.
It's over 75%. You can call it cab. So right. It's definitely a cab.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cab.
Almost nothing. The thing is, in California and in most places, almost nothing is 100% one grape. There's always a cépage. There's always a blend of grapes. People come to my store all the time. I'd like a red blend, but they say, oh, I don't drink blends. I only want this cab. So unless it says 100% on that label, it's almost never 100%.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, most people don't know that.
But this wine has nice balance. To me, it's like you said, it's not quite as beautifully balanced and made as the first wine, but it definitely has nice structure. It's definitely got nice tannins. It's definitely got nice mouthfeel. There's nothing wrong with it. It has no flaws.
Yeah, just
Bob.
I think it's a lovely wine. I get the raspberries and the berries on the nose. There's a little bit of a floral note to it on the palate. Dark cherries. And I think it's the power of suggestion, but in their notes, they have bay laurel, and I swear I do actually get that. The tannins on this are a lot more approachable. I think this one also is opened a little bit young, but the tannins aren't really, you know, knocking you completely over.
You know what interested me is the tannat, 4% tannat.
Yeah.
I've only seen tannat from Uruguay. I didn't know they were growing in California.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a small parcel of it on the property there because we were just there January.
Yeah,
and they've got quite a variety of grapes in the vineyards that they have, so that's probably why you see, you know, so many different ones coming in, but you know, extremely well made. And again, the thing I like about Stag's Leap is it's affordable.
Yeah.
For a Napa Valley wine.
Stag's Leap Winery.
Yeah.
Wine cellars, not so much.
Yeah. It is one of the few that still holds, you know, that holds the price. It's something that's affordable. I can show you a lot of wines that don't drink as well as any of these three that are three times the damn price. So, you know, cheers to them for making a decent wine at a good price. So we're going to be giving the Stag's Leap Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. Well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So that takes us to our next wine. So wine has been made at the current site of Palmas Vineyards as far back as the 1880s when Henry Hagen purchased the parcel in Napa Valley and founded the Cedar Knoll Winery and Vineyard.
The guy from Goodfellas?
You wish.
something, right?
No, it's Tom Hagen. Yeah, you know. Remember Tom Hagen. He was the conciliary.
And there was Henry Hill. Yeah.
Henry Hill. Tom Hagen's got
Henry Hill was the snitch.
He's the conciliary.
Yeah.
So Hagen became one of the true pioneers in Napa Valley, and his wines featured the San Francisco Opera House, even winning a silver medal for his brandy at the Exposition Universelle de Paris in 1889 at the World's Fair. With the arrival of Prohibition, the winery was closed and the property lay dormant. In 1945, Dr. Julio Palmas was born in Argentina and moved to California in the 70s after finishing his medical degree to pursue a research career at UC Davis. One day while attending a lecture, Dr. Palmas had an idea that after years of research and experimentation resulted in his development of the Palmas Schatz Balloon Expandable Heart Stent to support blood vessels and prevent blockages. So his life-saving stents have been all over the world and are placed in over 1 million patients a year.
My dad's alive today because of three of those.
Yeah. So, damn. Like, what did we accomplish today? Nothing.
We drank some wine.
Yeah, we drank some of his wine. So in the 90s, Dr. Palmas realized a dream when he purchased the former Hagen property and began the process of building the Palmas Winery and Vineyards, a 600-acre estate with 64 acres of vineyards. The winery is unique in that it is situated inside an 18-story cave, so the entire winery is underground, providing it with not only all the benefits of gravity flow winemaking, but also the natural temperature control of a cave. By eliminating mechanical pumps from the winemaking process, gravity flow design minimizes the turbulence that damages the wine's structure. So the first wine we're going to start with from them is the Palmas Amalia Napa Valley Chardonnay 2019. It's 14.5% ABV, 100% Chardonnay, 100% barrel fermented, aged surlies for 7 months, and 70% new French oak, bottled in May of 2020. So it's got a nice, sunshiny, bright gold to it. On the nose, sweetness, white flowers, a little bit of melon. And on the palate, the lemons jump out from me. I've had the Palmas Chardonnay many times before, and that is something that always seems to leap out of this, but lemons, citrus, tropical fruits. This is significantly appreciated since it's warmed up a bit. We had it way too cold before, but
I need some redfish, man.
A nice little Chardonnay. What do you think, Harm?
This is great. It's really improved since we tasted earlier. I'm getting the white flowers you said. I get a nice oaky note to it as well. It's not like toasty, but it's that spice from the French oak. And it's maybe a little bit of toast. But it's not buttery at all. This is not a butter bomb. I don't think there's any mallow in this at all.
No, there's none. But it has a decidedly European style because of the French oak. It's not American oak, and it's definitely different than a lot of
American.
It's not
a vanilla bomb. There's no butter. It's not a butter monster, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I like about it. It makes it different.
Yeah, and Bob said lemon. There's some other tropical notes coming out. I get a really beautiful mouthfeel on this. The oak is coming out. The acidity is balanced. When it was colder, it felt to me really unbalanced. The acidity was too prickly. Now it's integrated much better. This is really good.
Much closer to room temperature. It's much improved. I agree with you.
So what do you think, Maury? I think it's got a nice medium to long finish. That's
I pretty much agree with everything you said today, Harm. The Meyer lemon really jumps out at me. It does really have a nice mouthfeel. There's a fair amount of oakiness to it. But as I said, the oak has really blossomed as the temperatures come back close to room temperature along with aeration. You know, very nice wine. Very interesting. Very well made. Drinks well.
It's a 2019. We're in 2025 now. And I think it's still young. I think it takes
a long time. Oh, I think it's young, yeah. I think this really needs a few more years.
Justin?
So on the nose, I got French oak, different elements of French oak when we first poured it to now. That's more like the wisp and memory of French oak, where in the beginning it was like French oak, like serious.
It overpowered the fruit for you?
In the beginning. But after it's been sitting out, it's balanced out. I got lemon. I got grapefruit. I got a weird note when we first opened it, of envelope adhesive that totally went away once it came to room temp.
You still lick envelopes?
Apparently.
Well, I used to.
Yeah. Well, mostly windows, yeah.
I get the peel kind.
He's the guy on the short bus.
Who actually mails anything anymore? Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So on the palate, I got lemon, I got green plantain, okay, and oak.
I like that note. The green plantain's good.
And the finish was light and lemony, and that was a common element from when we first poured it to now. It was kind of like a light lemon, medium, short finish. So that's what I got.
Yeah. A delicious wine. Not much I can really say about it. But we're going to be giving the Palmas Amalia Napa Valley Chardonnay 4 sips.
Yeah, it improved.
That's classified.
So that's going to take us to our next wine. We're going to have Harm start up on that one before we go into commercial.
Okay, the next one is the Palmas Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021, 14.9% ABV, 94.49% Cabernet Sauvignon, 4.77% Cabernet Franc, and 0.074% Petit Verdot. This is ridiculously precise, and I want to mock them for it. But I'm not doing that now. 93% French oak, aged 20 months before being bottled. And now we're going to a commercial.
Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation, riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
All right, we're back. So what do you think, Harm?
Well, we've got four wines left to go, so I'm going to be quick. This is a beautiful
garnet.
That's
what she said.
You know what? when you get four wines in her, you got to be quick because she's going to fall asleep.
Why do I have to waste my time outwitting morons?
Just because you married her doesn't mean she have to do everything you say.
Anyway. Come on, let's go.
Garnet color. It's now the aroma here to me is all about pipe tobacco. There's a little bit of muddled berry notes. There's a lot of clove and cinnamon that French oak is really showing. The palate. Kind of medium bodied. Lots of tobacco and dark cherry. Great grip. But there's not too much fruit. I'm kind of disappointed in this, but I think that's because we killed a baby. This wine is way too young to be drinking right now. Mm-hmm. Justin, what do you think?
I got sweet lemon sorbet on the nose, orange creamsicle. Are you kidding me? Lemon curd.
Are you drinking the same wine as we are?
Yeah, and plums on the palate. I'll give you plums. It was like dark, silky tannins, a little bit of pipe tobacco also. The finish was long and pretty good.
Yeah, the finish is long and pleasing. That's true.
What do you think, Bob?
I'm with Harm. We killed a baby here. This wine, it was criminal to open it, and it shouldn't be open for at least another 4 years. But that being said, I'm not going to knock it because we messed up and we opened it too soon.
They sent it to us. It's their fault.
Yeah, it is what it is. But the fruit is there. It's just, it's under
it's
a blanket.
So muted for me.
It's just under a blanket. And I just can't, I think it's going to just blossom as it gets older and everything integrates. There's some clove in there. There's a little bit of like a vegetal note on the palate. The tobacco, like you said, the pipe tobacco, that foil bag full of pipe tobacco is definitely on the nose.
I'm thinking my grandfather's pipe tobacco.
Yeah. And cherries and tobacco on the palate, some old leather. I think it's delicious. It's just, it's so tight. So tight. And I've aerated this four times and it's still tight. So we did a crime by opening
Maury,
this.
Maury, what do you think?
Yeah, I can summarize it in one word: infanticide. This wine needs a lot of time, and I would agree with everybody here. I think it does have potential. I question whether or not it will ever develop the fruit you're looking for. Yeah, there is the possibility, Harm, that the fruit will increase before it fades. But typically, with more time, I find the fruit tends to fade off.
Yeah.
So this may have a window where it's going to improve on the fruitiness, but for the most part, it's devoid of fruit.
Mario, you're right. Generally, fruit falls off as the wine ages, but if it's released open, too young, this is going to get. I think it's bigger before
it comes. It may get a bump before it falls off, but as we said, we've given it a lot of air. There's no inherent flaws. It's a delicious wine. It's big, it needs food, and it will definitely benefit from time in the bottle. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. Be patient, and I think you'll be rewarded.
Yeah, patience is the key on this one. So we're going to be giving the Palmas Napa Valley Cab 2021 four sips.
That's classified.
So Justin, tell us about our next wine.
The origins of Achendo Cellars go back to 1990 when Daphne and Bart Araujo became proprietors of the historic Isil Vineyard in Calistoga and launched Araujo.
Isolay.
Okay. Araujo Estate Wines, relying on their previous business and landscape design experiences when they learned how to grow grapes and farm organically and biodynamically, went on to produce one of the most celebrated wines from the region. After selling their namesake label to Francois Pinault Artemis Group, They founded Achendo Cellars in 2013, along with their kids, Jamie and Greg. The winery is located at Wheeler Farms, which was originally part of the 2,000-acre Carne Humana Spanish land grant. Wheeler Farms was established in 1871 by Charles Wheeler, a founding member of the St. Helena Viticultural Club. So we're going to talk about Achendo, Laura, Napa, Valley Sauvignon Blanc 2023. It's 13.8% alcohol by volume, 28% Sauvignon Blanc, Ehrlich Vineyard, Oakville, 25% Sauvignon Blanc, Rancho Pequeño, Oakville, 18% Sauvignon Blanc, Juliana Vineyard, Pope Valley, 19% Semillon, Rancho Pequeño, Oakville, 10% Sauvignon Muscat, Rancho Pequeño, hand harvested, between August 30th and September 23rd, 2023. It's whole cluster pressed, fermented, and aged surly with weekly batonnage in new and French oak barrels, 78%, and stainless steel drums, 22%. I found the nose was minerally, sparkly. I got lemon, lime, green tea, and oysters Rockefeller on the palate. I got garlic, rosemary, and ribeye. And the finish, I didn't have any remarks, so I would say it was an unremarkable finish. What did you think, Harmeet?
I'm just stunned by the ribeye note. I got Asian pears. I got lemon, lots of lemon verbena, that floral note. The minerality is there. When you said oysters Rockefeller, I thought you were nuts, but you know what? There's that oyster. There's the that Pernod anise type thing coming out. There's the greens. So maybe, yeah. So you're not completely nuts.
Well, there's that minerality, that salinity.
Yeah, there you go. There's a minerality and salinity to it. And on the palate, I got bright citrus. Mm. Those herbs. Still floral, but those herbal notes are great. The citrus is very bright, and it's a good contrast. I thought the finish was remarkable. I thought it lasted for a couple minutes, and I get that salinity and that oyster shell note. Maury?
You know, it's been a theme lately, Harm, and I don't know what's happening here, but I'm starting to agree with you more and more each week.
You say you don't agree, but you agree with me on every show, dude. Come on.
Lately, it's been a problem. I'm starting to have, I don't know, I'm going to have to like go into therapy.
You're falling in love. Don't resist.
No, I would agree with everything you said. I thought this wine was underwhelming when we first poured it. It was too cold and too closed. It benefited from temperature and aeration for sure. And I can't say which was more important, but patience will reward you. I thought this was a beautiful Sauv Blanc that really blossomed. It's full of finesse. I mean, these guys, I didn't realize that Ochendo was found by the Araujo family, but Islay State and Araujo are some of the flagship premier wines of Napa Valley. Islay Vineyard is just, you know, one for the Hall of Fame. So I really think that these guys know what they're doing. They've made a beautiful wine. I really, really enjoyed this. And although I'm not an avid Sauv Blanc drinker, I think this was beautifully made.
All right. Well, we're going to give the Ochendo Larea Napa Valley Sauv Blanc 2023 four sips.
Yeah, it really improved. Really, really improved.
So we're going to have Maury tell us about our next one.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bob. The next one is the Ochendo Larea Valley Red Wine 2021. It's 14.8% ABV. It's 91% Cab Sauvignon, 9% Petit Verdot. Hand harvested on September 28th to October 19th of 2021. It was fermented in stainless steel tanks and aged in new and used French oak barrels for 21 months before bottling. This wine has a deep garnet color. It's got a lot of blueberries, plums, and hints of tobacco on the nose. There's even a hint of baking spice. It's got this, again, dark inky color on the palate. It's luscious. It's mouth coating. It's got strong structure and tannin, a velvety texture, some definitely dark red fruit and black fruits. And the finish is medium. I enjoyed it. I think it's very well made. There's no flaws. It's just a, you know, very nice, well-made Napa Valley.
I'm disagreeing with you, man.
Red.
I'm disagreeing with you. There's a flaw.
What's the flaw?
I don't like the palate as much as you do. I think the nose is, you're on with the blueberries and tobacco and the baking spice. But the palate, it came across as a little bit of weak and watery to me. It wasn't as full-bodied as I expected.
You're right. It is a little weaker than some. But judging what we have in the glass, I thought it was, you know, it was okay.
What about you, Justin?
So I got a lot of the notes you guys talked about, but I got on the nose and the palate mint and aloe.
I get the mint. I don't get aloe.
I'm not sure what aloe tastes like.
Yeah, I generally don't eat
aloe
it.
Aloe lotion?
Yeah, I rub it on skin, but I don't eat it.
I've tasted it.
It puts the lotion on the skin or gets the hose again.
And I've licked the plant too. Yeah.
I don't lick the plants. More, Bob, what do you think? We got one more wine.
I'm really disturbed by the fact that he's licking plants.
He used to lick the toads. It's better.
Yeah. I think it's got a really pretty nose. I like the palate. I think the palate on it's nice.
Really? It just felt watery to me. Mm-mm. Has it changed for you? Or?
No, I think it's delicious. We're going to be giving the Chendo Urrea Napa Valley Red Wine 2021 three sips.
Interesting.
Well, Bob, what else you got for us? We got one more.
So our last one is the Chendo Cellars Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. It's 14.8% ABV, 76% Cab Sauvignon, 22% Cab Franc, and 2% Petit Verdot. Hand harvested, aged in new and used French oak barrels for 22 months. The color on it is just inky.
Inky purple, man.
Inky purple. Just dark and brooding. On the nose, there's a little bit of blackberry. There's a little bit of a vegetal note.
There's a lot of vegetal note.
Their notes basically come out with anise and fennel. I definitely get the fennel. Yeah, the fennel is definitely there. So on the palate, let's see. The tannin on it is nice. It's silky. It's not right up in your face. A lot of red fruit, dark stewed fruit. Yeah, lovely one. What'd you think, Harm?
I have to disagree with you, Bob. This one...
You're so contrary today.
This one just feels unbalanced to me. There's too much herbal notes, not enough fruit for me. This is not like the California wine I'm used to drinking, Napa Valley stuff. The palate is really dense. It's got a great mouthfeel, unlike the previous one for me. The tannins are great. I think it needs more time. I think it's another baby we killed.
Yeah.
We screwed up again. We drank this too young. It really needs a ribeye, and maybe that'll fix it.
Everything needs a ribeye.
Everything.
Yeah.
Maury, what do you think?
No, I agree with you. I mean, listen, young. They're young.
Just give in, Maury.
They're young, and it's a food wine. I like this one better than the previous one. I think this one is more cab forward, and it's definitely got more structure. Will it improve with time? Absolutely. Is it young? Absolutely. I think it's well made. I enjoyed it, and it would be well.
Justin?
What did you think, Justin?
So on the nose, I got like a light star anise. I got fennel, huckleberries, oak.
What's a huckleberry? I've never had one.
It's like a blue dog in the cartoons. Fruit.
Oh, yeah. Huckleberry hound. I remember that.
Yeah.
Southern accent.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like you eat a pie, you want it to be sweet, but it's not because it's made from huckleberries.
All right.
Brent's very fond of them.
Yeah. They do have a tartness to them that most people are too tart. Not used to, I think. So
what do you think, Bob? Would you think that we just killed this? We did it too early again?
I don't like to say we made a mistake. I mean, take issue with what you said, Harm. We opened what was sent to us. It is young, and patience will be rewarded. But I don't think we made a mistake. We talked about what we got, and what we got is well made.
Yeah. And it's you have to be able to taste through the youth to see where it's
I understand
heading.
That, but like I feel like we've got too much muted fruit these last few wines. Mm-hmm. And generally younger wines have that fruit, like Maury was talking about, and the fruit falls off. But I think these need time to integrate because there's so much new French oak and all that stuff, right?
I think that's the problem. I think they haven't had it's not so much the fruit's going to elevate as everything else is going to sort of
fade.
Fade and sort of integrate around it.
Yeah.
So you're going to get more of that roundness, and the fruit is going to come forward, and you're going to get more of the palate. It's going to come forward.
So I feel like I could use more acidity in this wine. That's all.
But I mean, we can't, here's the thing. We can't complain about, opening them too soon because, nobody's shipping anybody,
aged wines.
Yeah.
They are, but you have to pay a lot more.
No, I mean, to folks like us. So
I know, not to folks like us. We don't deserve it.
We have the opportunity to predict the future. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's as it sits in the glass.
I predict in the future that Justin's going to have a wine that tastes like paste.
Because the mouthfeel is so great, I'm inclined to give it a higher rating than I did originally,
Well, I think it's a lovely wine. I think it was really well made. And I think time is going to be your ally here. I think this wine is really going to make that turn and really jump out.
And I think I should take my wife to Ruth's Chris today and bring some of these bottles with me.
There you go.
It's a good idea.
Better. See if they get better.
Well, I think anything would be better with, a ribeye.
Some Ruth's Chris,
Yeah, with a ribeye, everything's better.
I tend to get the escargot and the filet.
Well, you're a heathen.
What would
you
know?
Well, we're going to be giving the Echendo Cellars Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2021 three sips.
Interesting.
And we may be underrating it, but it's a three.
Oh, we're, Well,
I don't know.
Send me another one in about 3 years, and my guess is it's going to be much higher. So, well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Thank you, Justin.
Oh, thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
And thank you, Maury.
Another amazing day in the basement. Thank you, Bob.
And beat sitting around watching TV. So, and thank you, Harm.
I want to thank you, Bob, for giving me some nice wine to taste today. But my wife is not going to be happy when I get home.
That's every day you go home. How's today any different than that?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with what you've been doing today. It's just the fact that you're there. I'll
be calling man. You put too much wine in me.
It's the fact that you're going to be there. That's true. That's the problem.
It is a problem.
Well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. Thanks for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad wine.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a 110 Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.